Welcome back to an episode of Kate and Isaiah Living Large. I'm Isaiah.
And I'm Kate.
And on this episode, we are joined by the one and only Brian Godso. That's welcome, right. Brian.
There's only one of me.
There is only one of you. Welcome. Thank you for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I mean, I've wanted to go on this ever since I heard about it just the other week.
So we've been around for a year.
Yeah, a whole year. This episode comes out the week after our 1 year anniversary.
Oh wow! So this is the anniversary show.
This is the week after the anniversary show.
Well, that's probably for the best because you picked the worst guest there is.
Start fresh in 2024.
That's right.
It's also 2 days after my birthday when this comes out.
Oh my goodness!
Happy belated birthday.
Well, I thank you.
I don't think I have anything really to talk about because this is March 13th, and we'll get some plugs in at the end. But I think we just jump right into it. So, Brian, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience? Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Sure. My name is Brian Godso, as you heard. I am a stand-up comedian / call center guy, like most stand-up comedians. Like long walks on the beach, or watching long walks on the beach. I don't like long walks anywhere. And I don't know. I guess I'm a big guy. Like that's why I'm here.
And you knew Isaiah before. How you guys used to work together?
Yeah, he used to tolerate me
sometimes.
He trained me on I think like 2 campaigns,
at least, probably more, but yeah, at least 2.
So we met through stand-up comedy.
Yes. Brian is a comedian as well, if you didn't already find that out. And yeah, so you met Caitlin through what you're doing stand-up, and she's new to the scene.
Yeah, the Case of the Mondays.
I think I met you on a drive to Salisbury one time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You drove me and Kyve Lucas, and we went to do that show at the campground.
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh no, it was the one up in Moncton.
It was the Inferno show. It was my actual first time doing stand up on a whim.
And I got to harshly judge you. You did.
And we're still friends.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just get right into it. So Brian, I know you have dealt with your weight. Have you always dealt with being overweight through your life, or were you originally like skinny like myself, or
maybe a little bit like about middle school? I don't know if I was ever skinny, or at least not that I can remember. Maybe as like a little kid, but like from middle school on, I don't know, it just kind of like gradually went like things sort of like kind of ballooned a little bit after my separation started, and like I fell into a big depression spiral, but I've always been like a little big.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, depression's a pretty big reason for a lot of people that gain weight for sure. So when you were, let's talk like middle school. Like I know that for me, middle school was when I discovered food. I was kind of a sportsy guy through middle school or high school. What about you?
I did play basketball a little bit in middle school. I think I set the record for fouls on my team. Like, perfect. I got a little chubby.
There you go.
We all have our strengths.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
so you were little, but you're kind of a rugged guy, played some sports, and then into high school. Like what else did you do for fun? What were you into? You grew up in Charlotte County, yes?
Oh, drama and video games, actually. And I think video games were probably a bit of a contributing factor, because especially when the PlayStation came out.
Yeah.
And then when I discovered marijuana, probably too. not a great mix.
Video games and marijuana don't lead to slim figures, generally.
This is true. When did you first start noticing, like, feeling like you were overweight? Or have you ever really felt?
Probably high school. Is definitely where I felt a little bit heavier, and it felt like other people really started to take notice of it. Okay. Like I didn't get bullied a whole bunch or anything like that, but you know, like I, you get the odd joke thrown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you feel about that back then?
Back then, not so great.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't really developed any kind of a defense mechanism to it yet.
Right.
There were, like, inklings of it there. Like, I remember, like, a few snappy comebacks here and there that
yeah.
I'd be able to throw out. But, like, it still hurt.
Yeah. And I know now, flash forward a little bit on the same topic, you have your own podcast with two other comics called The Four Story Walk Up, and you three constantly roast each other for anything, and the butt of most of the jokes directed at you is your weight. How do you feel about that now?
I don't mind it as much anymore, unless the joke's hacky. If the joke's hacky, and usually the guys are pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And like, and also just the way that I know them as well, too. Like,
right.
It works a little bit differently than if it was a stranger. But even then, like, these days, I'm more offended by like a bad joke about it than yeah. like the joke itself.
Yeah.
Now, when we'll get into comedy in general, we're going to do a part two of talk about comedy. But are you like me? So like close friends, like that kind of joking around about weight is completely different than someone one off, like making a comment about my weight. Are you this kind of the same way?
Absolutely. Like it doesn't bother me the way that it used to, but at the same time, like there's degrees to it.
Yeah.
And if it's somebody like that I'm close with and we're just breaking each other's balls or whatever,
right.
That's sort of a different thing than if it's just like a random person who just. Like, sometimes I feel like snapping back, and sometimes I just, like, let it slide off me. Yeah, there's definitely a difference.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Really more of a bounce. But, anyway, it bounces off.
Right. Does that, no, I gotcha.
Okay. It's because it's bouncing.
It's one of those bad jokes that we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to give an example of what a hacky joke was.
Oh, you got three. That's, then I'm out of here.
No, in all seriousness, that's my serious face.
Ah.
I actually forgot what I was gonna say.
You got too serious.
Oh my god. No, here's what I was gonna ask. I said I was thinking about, do your friends and family express concern?
They have, yeah. Couple, like I don't want to get into specifics, but there's like one particular instance, like not necessarily my family, but former family.
Okay.
Kind of expressed in a way that made me feel kind of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll mention it every once in a while. One thing in particular, and I'm glad I ended up actually listening, was the whole sleep apnea thing.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
So when were you diagnosed with sleep apnea?
Just this past year, back in last October, I think.
Okay, and yeah. Then you have the fun CPAP machine.
Yeah, no, and completely changed my life. Like before then, and now that I think back on it, I think it may have saved my life too. Like. I would be like, I would pass out randomly when driving sometimes. There were certain instances where I'd be at my fiance's family's house where I would pass out watching TV to the point where they couldn't wake me in the middle of a room full of people. And when I eventually went in to take the test, the results that I got back apparently were so crazy that they invited other people into the room to look at them.
Oh my God.
All right then. So how was the test? So I'm kind of interested in the sleep apnea thing because I think I probably have that issue myself and haven't actually taken the step to go do the tests and all that. So how did you approach going through that?
Oh, yeah. I called them up and they gave me this device that you like put some like not electrodes, like something kind of like electrodes on your chest.
Like
and
a
you
sensor put thing?
Yeah, like a heartbeat monitor on your finger.
Okay.
And it will detect somehow when you have an event. And what they classify as an event is when you stop breathing. Like, it goes beyond snoring. And
yep.
I think the limit for that, like, where it's considered to be, like, safe is somewhere around, like, 5 to 10 per hour.
Okay.
I was at 100.
Holy Hannah. I know when I tested, I was at, like, 58, and that was scary enough.
That's noteworthy enough.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah. And sleep apnea is definitely something that bigger people definitely have issues with for sure. It's interesting. So once you get through the test, how then now you got the machine, you do sleep, find your sleep way better. Do you everything just so much easier?
Oh yeah. It's night and day. Like I don't get sleepy during the day anymore. I'm not feeling like I'm going to pass out at work. I got a good story about that, by the way. I'm able to sit through movies now. I can drive without having to worry about it. I feel refreshed in the morning, where I didn't always feel that way.
Wow.
It changed my life. It really did.
How long was the adjustment period from when you started with the machine to when you were comfortable with it, that it was actually making a difference?
Almost immediately.
Oh, like, wow.
The comfort things may be a little bit different, because like for the first month or so, I would wake up at least once a night and had taken my mask off.
Okay.
And I'd have to like put it back on. And like, I could tell I just ripped the thing off too, because it wasn't just the magnet things. It was the Velcro.
Okay. Right?
But about a week, but I guess it's different for everyone, especially with the way like ear pressure works. And even that like goes out of whack everyone.
Mm-hmm. And so you have a fiance, a lovely fiance. You've been engaged for how long now?
Since last April.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So how does she find the transition with the machine in the bedroom?
Well, she lets me stay in the bedroom now.
That's a bonus.
Like, she used to have to sleep with earplugs and she could even hear me over that.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
House shakingly.
I am the same.
And I think me like not dying is probably a plus for her.
Probably.
Yeah, that is not stroking out in the middle of the night is probably an advantage.
I just got her on my health insurance, so she has incentive.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's pretty big incentive. So thinking back to like days like that you had before you had tested for sleep apnea, are there, like you said, you were passing out in your car, just passing out in random places. Those were your signs. Did anyone like say concerns at that point?
Oh yeah, plenty of people. I had several friends express concern. Like I had one friend that told me like I spent the night at her place that like I was shaking the wall. See somebody, and I just ignored everyone until Rachel finally got through to me. And actually, one the story I was alluding to either, which you so definitely transitioned into. I used to work for a bank for like an online banking thing in proactive sales. And that was around the time when my separation was starting. And like, I knew that was going to go by the wayside, but like part of my responsibilities with that, I would get the random call where I would have to help someone reset their online password.
Yep.
And I can apparently do that in my sleep, which is what I proved. I was apparently, and I don't really remember this except for like the very end of it, but apparently like eyes closed, snoring, going like, oh, you hit the reset password, but did you hit that? Did you check your email? And the head of the mortgage division, who is my boss's boss, happened to be doing a visit that day, and he walked past and he looks at me and I'm like snoring and talking, and he goes, is this mother sleeping? That was the end of that job.
Yeah. Oh, no. Listen, as a fellow call center person, I'm pretty sure everyone at a certain point in time can do those jobs in their sleep. Half of them are just like trying to guide people through the exact same thing that they could just look up online.
I don't know why he was trying to fire you. I feel like that's a testament to your ability as an employee. You literally be asleep and still get the job done. You should be a marvel.
I tried to make that argument. It didn't go anywhere. Frowned upon, apparently.
Yeah, they don't like it when you sleep at work. I learned.
So switching gears. Thinking back, so when you do you go to the gym or do anything like for your weight? Is that something you're trying to lose, or you're just like maintaining right now?
Right now, maintaining. I think I would like to do more. Before the pandemic, I was when I did live uptown.
Yep.
I was starting to every night sort of walk up and down the hills.
Oh wow!
And yeah. I found that kind of like worked really well. That, and I was in a contest with likely friend of the show, Matt Keenan, and Chris Hovey, and another guy, where we were like trying to see who lost the most weight. So we were, like, I was watching my eating for that as well too, so I could dominate them.
That's awesome.
But the pandemic happened, and that kind of like killed my desire for like going out, because like I remember during that time I didn't even know what I could do.
Right.
And now like I guess I just kind of got complacent.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the story of 2020 in general for most people is, you know, everyone kind of got complacent, skipped the dishes and DoorDash, like, hit the town.
Yeah.
Hard. So, like, I think that's just the story of 2020 for a vast majority of people.
Yeah, I think the my skip guy is getting more of a workout than I am, because I live on the third floor now.
There you go.
You make them come up all the way up the stairs?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, I was, when I ordered skip, when I got a high hot on the skip train, I'd always go meet them at the door.
So, Caitlin, this is how fat I am. The kind of fat that I am. In my instructions for DoorDash, I have written, the door code is this. This is not a buzzer. That's where I'm at.
But I'm the kind of fat that there were times that I would be hungry and not order skip the dishes because I didn't want to walk down the stairs, because I live up on the third floor as well in my building. And I just like, I guess I'll starve then and just wait, because I don't want to go down and eat them.
I think we're on the same level, just two different parts of it.
I luckily didn't have that many stairs when I lived uptown. They just met me at the door. It was great.
Okay, Isaiah. Awesome.
That's what kind of lazy I was. But yeah, no. Skip definitely ruined a lot of potential for me for a long time.
Yeah, it's just too convenient. It's
way too convenient.
Yeah. So expensive though.
Oh my goodness! Lately, it's gotten even worse. Like, I feel like they've doubled the prices of things specifically on those apps.
I had to delete all the apps from my phone because it was getting too much of a habit. Just they're gone. They don't exist to me anymore.
I'll check every payday and then I'll try to convince myself whether or not something's working.
Yeah,
but usually ends up with me like humming and hawing over it like an hour before my lunch break, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to cook after that. But yeah,
that payday meal. It's always that payday meal.
Oh, definitely.
I did find when I was in Colombia that it was really helpful though. They had one, they have, theirs is called Rappi, RAPPI. And because I don't speak Spanish, it was really hard for me to like find food, but I could easily see the picture and pick out the thing and have it delivered. And I didn't even have to talk to the guy. It was just like there. So I will say was very convenient for that.
Was it a lot of like local places or was it like McDonald's?
There was McDonald's and Burger King, but I didn't order from those. I was going to do McDonald's once and I didn't end up doing it, but I tried to order local. I mean, they were definitely like fast food restaurants that we just don't have in the areas.
Right,
so.
Like Five Guys.
there was no Five Guys there.
Five Hermanos.
Yes, Five Hermanos. Hombres.
Five Hombres.
That was like a great like band name, though.
Like
a good mariachi band.
Yeah, I'd listen to Five Hombres.
So such thing as a good mariachi band.
Ouch, mariachi. Caitlin.
Just kidding.
I'm surprised.
Now back to you, Brian. When you talked about like you're not actively working, you're working on maintenance right now. How is your mental health now? Like it was obviously at an all-time low, pandemic, separation, etc. How are you feeling about everything now?
A lot better. It's still varies, you know, you have good days and you have bad days like any other human being, I guess, but it's not. Definitely not where it was when I was separated. Like, I have three, like, rock bottom moments I can think of. When I was separated and I was ordering nothing but Wendy's and Arby's and making little out of the bags in my house. When I went on stress leave from work for a summer and just felt terrible, like holed up in my room, like I couldn't do anything. Like I was probably more stressed out than stress leave. And the pandemic, once it got going up until I met Rachel, which I met her over the pandemic.
Right.
After it stopped being fun.
Like, yeah.
You remember when it was fun?
Oh, man. The first like 2-3 weeks is like flatten the curve. We're going to do it. We're in this together. And then, yeah, it 3 weeks, everyone's like, all right.
Yeah.
how flat does this curve have to get?
Like, we're watching like Dropkick Murphys concerts and making Mario Maker levels, yeah. Which you owe me a beer
for. Which I owe you a beer for. Yeah. I have a bunch of beer in my fridge. You'll have to go home with one.
Yeah, I did dominate you.
You did. I did really well in that Mario Maker right up until that last level.
It was the easiest part, dude.
It was the worst. Anyway, yeah. But no, the first couple, three weeks of the pandemic was great. Oh, good to stay inside. Don't have to go anywhere. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it was, I have to stay inside. I don't get to go anywhere.
Yeah. It turns out you can only watch so many endless hours of car crash videos with your roommates.
At least you had roommates.
That's true.
Or a wife.
That is true.
Did you guys get sucked into Tiger King?
Oh, I did, know yeah. It. 100%.
Do you feel really filthy now that that's happened?
I no, like to pretend it never existed.
Not at all.
Isaiah is blameless. I respect that.
I am blameless.
Yeah. I tried to watch the weird second season thing. Yep. And yeah. No.
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 100% no.
But I think we wrap up here and we move into our part two coming up next week. We're going to talk a little bit about comedy and weight in comedy. But before we end,
but you'll have to wait.
You'll have to wait till really next week. Yeah. But what do you got? Anything to plug there, Brian?
Yeah, I got the my podcast, Four Story Walk Up, which you can find just about anywhere, Spotify, Apple Music, although I think I have to read some terms and conditions. I got a weird email about that. And
I'll drop a link in the description of this video for it.
Perfect. Thanks, man. Yeah, that one's a little more raunchy than that.
Yes.
And if you're in the St. John area, I'm going to be at the Grove Lounge on March 16th. If you normally steer clear of that bar, I don't blame you, but go that night.
It'll be a good time. The Grove Lounge puts on a great show.
What about you, Caitlin? Anything to plug for this episode?
No, I don't have anything at this point for March.
Oh, my goodness.
That I know of, that I can think of.
Well, anywhere people can find you on the internet besides your podcast, Brian?
Well, I've got a crappy YouTube channel where I've got a bunch of Let's Plays that I'm eventually going to change and put comedy clips up there.
Nice.
So you can find me there. I'm like somewhat witty on Twitter, Mayor Cigarface. And yeah, Facebook, Instagram, all the YouTube.
All right. And where can people find you on the internet, Caitlin?
They can find me at the Caitlin Dean on X, at Kate D on Twitter, Caitlin Dean on Facebook, at Fat Caitlin on TikTok, and we're at Kate and Isaiah Living Large on Facebook.
And I am at Maritime Brews on all of the social medias. We do have the buy me a, well, it was a mic. It is now buy us a camera.
Yeah, this is all shot by phone.
So that'll be in the link in the description as well. And then of course, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Music, all those, listening places, you can also see the video of us recording on YouTube. And if you are watching on YouTube, like, share, subscribe. It does go a long way.
Click the little bell.
And click the little bell for, yeah, the notifications. But until next week, bye.
Bye. Yeah.